Chapter 12. Jesus spends the next 4 days straight, the rest of the first week of December, in the bungalow at the chateau, giving interviews and having his photograph taken for any publication that will pay for the privilege. There are a lot of takers, everything from the Inquirer to Harper's to Celebrity Lifestyle. He is on the front cover of every English-speaking newspaper in the Western world. In 4 days, he earns nearly $1 million in fees. On day three, Stephen Stelfox arrives at the chateau. His chauffeur-driven black Cadillac Escalade SUV squeaking regally up the tiled forecourt. "Hey there," Jesus says as Stelfox takes a seat in the lounge across the coffee table from Jesus and Morgan, looking around distastefully at the mess. Room service trays, underwear hanging on the radiators. There are what appear to be a couple of old winos passed out on the patio. What the fuck's going on with those tramps? Stelfox asks. Oh, that's just Gus and Dottie. They're friends of mine. Right. Figures. So, let's get down to it. Who'd have believed it? You're the biggest star the show's produced. Fuck it. You're probably the biggest name in America right now. I'm going to exercise my option to sign your record and publishing deals. What's that worth? Morgan asks. And who the fuck are you? Stelfox responds. Listen, Morgan begins, getting up from his chair. Easy, Morgs, JC says. This is Morgan. He's the drummer in my band.
Oh, the drummer.
Stelfox says, flattening a hand on his chest in excuse-me fashion, making the words sound like the Emperor.
I'm sorry, I had no idea. Please do go on. Tell me, what kind of drumsticks do you use? What kind of miking setup do you favor on your kit? What? Actually, hang on, just fuck off, would you?
Motherfucker, Morgan says, getting up again. Morgan, Jesus says, placing a hand on his arm. Maybe you should go get a drink or something. It's cool, man. I'll handle this.
Don't sign anything, man, Morgan says, over his shoulder as he leaves.
So how much? Jesus asks.
$1 million for your publishing and $1 million for your record contract. A third of each payable on signature, a third on delivery of the album, and a third on release.
Yeah, okay, Jesus says. Stelfox takes a moment to adjust. Not the kind of negotiation he's used to.
We'll make the record here in L.A. I'll pick the songs, of course. And also, needless to say, the closest your drummer friend and the rest of your so-called band are going to get to the record is when they come by to deliver pizza.
No, Jesus says.
How's that?
No. I'm going to use the guys, and we'll make the record ourselves in our own studio. Otherwise, no deal.
You're aware there's a clause in the contract you signed for the show prohibiting you from recording for any other labels.
Well, if you say so.
So what will you do?
Not record any music?
Stelfox thinks.
Doable. It's all fucking doable. As long as you got a couple of singles to sell the album, who really gave a fuck what else was on the Poxy record? Have Trellick bury a phrase deep in the contract about the label having permission to remix certain tracks as they see fit. Remixing was a pretty broad remit. Just take the vocal into a real studio with a real producer and reconstruct the track so normal people would like it.
Yeah, it could be done. Stelfox appears to think for a long time before slowly beginning to nod his head.
I'll agree to that if you'll agree to include 2 cover versions of my choosing on the record.
Jesus thinks, what the hell?
Record them so badly he can't do anything with them.
Yeah, okay, deal.
Okay, we'll be in touch.
They shake hands, Stelfox removing his sunglasses for the first time during the meeting. Jesus, seeing those bats falling into the blackness of his pupils, sparks of fire dancing there too. Stelfox, in his turn, feels the goodness, riddled with it. Jesus tells Morgan and Chris.
Wow, Chris says. So basically, we get a third of this $2 million right now, whatever happens?
Yep, JC says.
That's great.
Morgan says. You boys know how much that works out to? They look at him. Exactly $666,000.
Whoa, Jesus says. 666. Freaky, huh?
Morgan says. While Jesus goes on smiling for the camera by the pool and answering questions like, who is the real Jesus? Everyone gets their shit packed up, and Chris buys new transport, a spacious luxury minibus with aircraft seats, frosty AC, DVD player, and powerful stereo. On the Thursday following JC's final show, the menagerie saddles up and hits the road, a chunk of their new fortune going towards settling the room service tab at the Chateau Marmont and leaving a hefty tip for the staff, who have treated the menagerie righteously throughout, even asking some movie producer who complained about Gus being passed out by the pool to leave. Two places everyone gets treated the same, Jesus reflected. Heaven and really, really good hotels.
Man,
Chris says as their tires squeak down the hotel's tiled driveway towards Sunset Strip. It is hard to leave this place. The season finale of American Pop Star airs that Saturday without its biggest star. A record number of viewers still tunes in to see, in a shock upset, Gary triumphing over Jennifer Benz, largely due to his revelatory performance with Jesus the week before. But, given the events of the previous week, the show is described as one of the biggest anticlimaxes in television history, literally Hamlet without the prince. Jesus is happy for Gary and what the money will mean to his family, finding himself chuckling at the thought of Stelfox smashing his office up as he shreds the marketing plans for Jennifer's Christmas album. Meanwhile, they're heading back east, Los Angeles disappearing behind them under its sweating dome of smog, Chris at the wheel singing along to Willie Nelson's On the Road Again on that fine new sound system as they head towards Arizona, looking for those wide-open spaces.
Hey, Morgan says, what's the last words you want to hear after you sucked Willie Nelson's dick?
Dunno, Chris says over his shoulder, eyes on the road.
I'm not Willie Nelson, Morgan says.